401-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
In your time.
Indeed it is, and to some of you who may have missed my opening remarks, I want to thank you as some of the ratings begin to trickle in. First of all, those of you in Los Angeles, the City of Angels, listening to us on KFI, thank you. You have continued to make Coast to Coast number one, even this time by even a farther margin. And in every hour time period with every demographic, it's unbelievable. Thank you so much. In Chicago, WLS number one. Philadelphia, WPHT, not yet number one, but you gave us a 1,600% increase in listenership. Unbelievable. Detroit, number two on CKLW. I used to listen to that station as a kid, up from number 14 in one rating book. Thank you, Motor City, and in Canada. In San Diego, number one on Kogo, so thank you so much there as well. And I'll be giving you some ratings as the days go on. It'll be going on for a couple of weeks. And also special thanks to the Master Art Bell for coming back on weekends to give us that added boost, which has helped us tremendously as well. Now, we're going to have open lines for you this hour, just you and just me, topics, whatever's on your mind. We'll talk about some of the stories of the day. First of all, one of the reasons for open lines is I have a responsibility to you, quite frankly, and I'm just a little uncomfortable with the fact that my last guest, and I love time travel. I mean, it's fun, it's exciting, and thinking about the possibilities of time travel, I can go on and on and on and talk about that, but when somebody wants to charge you $300 for a machine and refuses to give you back your money, well, I've got a problem with that, and so that's why I did it the way I did, because you come first. Open lines for you this hour, and maybe I'll play my alien sound machine that my granddaughter sent me for Christmas, and I'll just tune that on for a while, huh? That'll chase you all away. Let's go to our international line. Welcome to Coast. You are on the air. Where are you calling from?
I am calling from Vancouver, British Columbia.
Welcome. Is it still cold up there?
Actually, not too bad anymore. We've got a lot of rain, so it's really become a lot more milder.
Springtime in Vancouver, huh?
Yeah, it seems to be that way, George.
Welcome
Listen,
to the show.
George, I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. Your show is the number one show up here. I love it.
Well, thank you.
My question that scared the hell out of me was the first time I heard you talking about the Maitreya and Kathleen Keating.
Oh, yes.
That has sent the heebie-jeebies down my back ever since.
Well, you know what? Even before that, I had an interview with the Maitreya's representative.
I heard that.
Which would have, okay, that must have driven you up a wall then.
I had to turn it off because I was so scared.
There were, I can't tell you how many emails I got. I didn't have the Fast Blast working at the time, but how many emails I got about people who listened to the entire interview, mm-hmm. and they said that they actually felt strange vibrations coming through the radio.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm just wondering, what are you going to do to follow up with that?
Well, I'm glad you didn't say, what am I going to do to top that? let me tell you something that we have been kicking around for a long time. And,
yeah.
I have even indirectly polled Coast to Coast listeners to see if they wanted me to interview the Maitreya. Now,
okay.
We don't know if he's the Antichrist, but there are some people who say he might be.
Yes.
But there are others, you know, there's that camp that says, go for the interview, get him on, let's hear what he's got to say. Then there's another group of people that not only fear for my own life,
sure.
they don't want to hear this guy. I mean, they're petrified that something could happen to them. So I don't know. What's your take on it?
Well, I think, you know, if we get this out in the open, maybe we can expose this guy. Maybe we can stop it all from happening.
Can we really do that?
I would hope so.
He may have a lot of power.
Well, you know, it's something that I think he has more power when he's hidden and when he's not, you know, shown for the, I guess, the evilness that he is.
That's a good point. That is a good point. Well, thanks for the call.
Thank you, George.
Appreciate it. Let's go to our wild card line. You are on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
How you doing? I'm sorry, I just recently had a UFO experience. I'm dead serious right now. I'm seriously not one of those nuts that you... Like, I don't
want to
be...
What, you almost said one of those nuts like you...
No, I don't want... Like, I live in a small town. I'm going to liberal arts college right now.
Okay, where are you calling from? What state?
Iowa.
Okay.
We were driving home from Des Moines. It's about an hour drive to where we live.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry if I sound a little flustered.
Did this just happen to you?
It happened about 2 hours ago. We've called the authorities. We've talked to our friends. Nobody will believe it.
All right. Well, tell us what happened.
We were driving home from Des Moines. It's about an hour drive. We were on our way back, and we were about 20 minutes out of Des Moines. We looked at the clock just before this happened. We saw this thing. It looked to us like it was a bright star. And we're just looking at it. It's a bright star. It's getting closer and closer. And we get up next to it, and I look up to it. I'm sitting in the passenger seat. My roommate was driving. He's right here. He was a witness to it also. And he's the most grounded person you'll ever meet in your life.
Understand.
And I look out the window, and there's this triangular-shaped, I want to say, like, flying saucer, but that just does not seem adequate. It doesn't seem right to me to say flying saucer. It was platter shaped, but it was a triangle. There were three very distinct lights. We left the car. He looked at the clock right before we left the car. It said 10:30. We got out of the car. We were out of the car no more than 10 seconds. There's no possible way we were out of the car more than 10 seconds. This thing zoomed off into the night. We couldn't see it. And we got back into the car. It said 10:50.
That's strange. Now tell me, and there's a method for this question. How big was it, do you think?
Well, the only reference for how high that it was, like I said before, I'm sorry if I sound a little flustered.
No, I can understand. Believe me, if I seen something like this, I'd be going a little wacko myself right now.
Well, the only reference we had was a nearby radio tower, and our lowest estimate for the radio tower was 50 feet tall. Our highest estimate was 300 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that seems like a lot of feet, but it, like...
Well, and 50 sounds too small for a radio tower. So maybe 150, 200 feet.
Well, we were both discussing this, actually. We were we were both Boy Scouts. I went through some ham radio training.
Yeah.
Either way, I don't know what the actual footage is, but there was only one light on the tower, and that was at the absolute top. And this thing was no more than 20 feet from what that was. It it was bigger than an ultralight, but it was definitely smaller than a passenger jet.
Okay. That's a good reference point. Now, let me ask you, in Iowa, are you close to a military base where this occurred? Do you know?
The closest military base that I know of is Omaha. That's 3 hours away.
Not really too far away. I'll tell you what's been going on. We're getting a lot of reports, and have been for the last several years, of what you just have described. Some say it's even bigger, but now we're starting to get reports of smaller size triangular shaped objects. No sound, I take it, right?
Yeah, I've lived close to military bases before. Like I said, this is a small liberal arts college. I've lived all over the place. My roommates lived even more areas than I have.
But no sound from this object.
No, I know what a jet sounds like.
Yeah.
I stepped out when we stopped the car. There was no way we were farther than a quarter mile from the time that he put on the brakes and pulled the car over. And you can hear a jet very clearly from that time, from that distance. We stepped out of the car, heard nothing. And the jet, it hovered for, like a second, maybe a second and a half, and then it took off. And this thing covered my lowest estimate from a dead stop to where it vanished from our view. My lowest estimate is probably 6 to 20 miles, just based on its size.
All right, do me a favor. You have a computer. You're going to college. You got to have one, right?
Actually, we just finished moving. Our computer isn't hooked up, but yes, we both
Okay, as soon as you get it hooked up, go just do a search, National UFO Reporting Center, and send Peter Davenport some information, if you would, on this. He collects this kind of data, and I think he'd be very interested in what you just saw.
Is there any way that I can, talk to a couple of the callers about what I just saw? Both me and especially my roommate, he's very rattled.
I'll tell you what I'll do. We'll just, I will pose that question to people in that area in Iowa near Des Moines. How many miles?
We're 3 miles north of the Missouri border. If you drive the absolute speed limit, which nobody does, but if you drive the absolute speed limit, it's about an hour and 5 minutes.
Okay, and this you said you saw a couple hours ago.
Yeah, it was. We got out of the car at 10:30. That's what Brendan said. That's my roommate. What he said when he looked at the clock when we got out, it was 10:30.
All right. What we'll do is we will pose that to everybody in that area. If you saw something like this and you want to give us a call here at Coast to Coast, by all means, go ahead and do that. And let's see if there's anything going on tonight. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello.
Hi. I'm Mary, and I'm from Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin.
Hello, Mary. What's going on tonight?
My husband has had an experience. He was sleep. He's a truck driver. He was sleeping in his bunk, and he woke up, but he could not move.
Sleep paralysis, maybe?
No. He felt like he was paralyzed, and when he looked, there was the only thing I can describe it, and he described it as, was a shadow person.
Holding him down?
That's what he said. It felt like he was being held down. He said this happens to him at least once a month.
Was he in his cab of his truck?
Yeah, he was in a sleeper. And the last time it happened was he had scratches on his legs.
Scratches on his legs.
Yes, and we're trying to figure out if it was a shadow person or what it was.
Does
he felt like he was paralyzed. He could not move.
What wakes him up? Does he feel something happen here?
He said his brain says, to wake up. He wakes up, but he feels like he's paralyzed, and there's a shadow sitting on his bed.
What has he described the shadow as looking like?
A dark figure. That's
just about it. Does he dream about this?
No.
Okay, so it's just when he wakes up, he's paralyzed, he feels like this thing is holding him down, and then he's got scratches on his legs?
Right.
Is that all? Just his legs?
Yeah.
Only place?
That's the only place. The last time, the only place was his legs.
But yet it doesn't happen all the time.
No, he said it happens like once a month. and we can't figure out.
Is it a full moon? Is it not? Is it, does that have anything to do with it?
This time it just happened, I guess it would be last night.
Well, we had a full moon last week, I think, so that was
this. He, because he called me up as soon as he woke up and...
Is he petrified about this?
Yeah, he's kind of scared about it.
Where is he now?
Right now, he is in Ohio right now.
Is he
this
listening?
Happened when he was in Buffalo, New York.
He might be listening to you right now.
He could be.
Maybe he'll call in and tell us the story. I don't know what's happening to him. It's happened to a lot of people. I don't know why it just happens to him once a month.
Well, that's what he said. It happens like once a month.
It's probably something that I'm sure he doesn't look forward to, does he?
No, he does not.
All right. Thanks for that story. I have no idea what's happening to him. And, some would say, a scientist would say, sleep paralysis, and then they scoff it off as something like that. But sounds like there's a little bit more than that. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
It is well, thanks.
I live in Santa Clarita, Southern California.
Sure thing.
Right by Magic Mountain, and I'm a pizza driver, and I was driving. I was driving north, and clear above the mountains. I saw this flash of blue light. It kind of looked like like one of those jet lighters, and it was up in the sky. I could put probably about an inch, if I put my fingers up in the sky.
Okay.
It would be about that wide. And it shot across and then from, left to right. And it wasn't coming down. It was just going horizontal. And when the flame stopped, I just saw this white, it looked like a ball. And it was, I go to aircraft mechanic school, and this thing was... just flying. It was going way too fast.
My guess is you saw one heck of a meteor.
That's what I was thinking, and I called around, and no one had saw it. This was 2 weeks ago on Saturday around 5:30 p.m.
But you're going to get the bluish, greenish, white looking meteorites. And, there was a wave around that time period around the planet. Iran got hit. India got hit by some. You might have seen a big one, especially if you saw a ball of light after that.
Yeah, it looked like I could see, if it was a meteor, I could see the meteors.
I got to tell you, it's fascinating to see, isn't it?
Yes, it was very blue and it was very bright, and it was 5:30, so it wasn't dark yet.
Right.
It was just really blue.
If it was something else, it would have been hovering around.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's probably what you saw. The wonders of nature. Thanks for the call. First time caller, welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Are you talking to me?
I think I am.
Oh, yay. I just woke up. I streamlink you on the computer.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, because
I beg your pardon.
And if you think that's good, I live in New York, and I miss you terribly during the week, and so Streamlink is amazing. I'm always recommending it to people.
Yeah, it is.
And I said, okay, well, even though I'm groggy and maybe incoherent, I said, this is a great opportunity to call you. And I did wake up during the Lord Maitreya. You were talking about having
Yes, when I chatted with the good old Benjamin Krem.
Yes, I heard that show. And I found Benjamin Krem to be a delightful man and very, very sweet.
I'm not a follower. You don't think he tricked you?
Yes. Satan comes in many forms. I think people are silly, I'm so eclectic. I'm not a follower of one person, but I do get my ideas from a whole group, from all religions, too. And even Jesus said, resist not evil. Now, I didn't feel any evil coming from that guy. Maybe my evilometer is not operative, but he had some wonderful ideas. And if he's a gimmick and everything, well, there have been others, too.
He was eloquent, well-spoken.
Yes.
And very intriguing.
And a sweet. He sounded like a sweet, kind old gentleman.
Yes, as they wheel you in a little bit at a time.
It's going to be hot down there, huh? Well, is it that? God, it's so cold in New York now.
It is cold.
But, you know, so anyway, if you want to have him on again, I think he has something to say. I think we can take some of that spirit. And it's sometimes it's not the messenger. We have to listen really carefully to the message and weed out the parts that make us feel uncomfortable. I mean, hopefully that's what people always do. Discernment, right?
Are you sure you're not his agent?
Is he looking for one?
Back in a moment. Thanks for the call, New Yorker. Open lines continue. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
Want to time travel? Go back to past shows on Streamlink. Sign up online at coasttocoastam.com. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
After a near-death experience that followed routine surgery, Betty Eady survived, returned with a message. Just what was that message? She'll be my guest on the next Coast to Coast program. Make sure you're tuned in on that one. And then on Wednesday, Stephen Quayle, my guest. We're going to talk about UFOs and giants with a little update on terrorism. Father Andrew Wingate comes in on Thursday with more predictions. Linda Moulton Howe joins us for a bit on Friday, followed by Open Lines into our Friday-Saturday program right here on Coast to Coast. After Dark Newsletter, February issue is being worked on as I speak. Here's a toll-free phone number to order it, 1-888-727-5505. The other way is right off the website, coasttocoastam.com. And why don't you get the free collector's item CD when you order? Oh, that's right. You didn't know about that, did you? It's one of Art Bell's earlier interviews with the late Father Malachi Martin on exorcisms. CD number one, it's a collector's item, and it is yours for a very nominal, I mean nominal, shipping and handling fee when you order the After Dark newsletter. And welcome back to Coast I'm George Norrie. A lot of people sending in email. A lot of UFOs. A lot of UFO reports. Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine. Where are you calling from?
San Francisco.
Ah, yes. What's up?
Oh, not much. I was calling to talk to you about the concept of deja vu and some strange dreams I've had that have come to realizations and my present life, and just get a little input from you on it.
Deja vu, very frustrating, isn't it? Because you know you've been there before.
Yeah, it's very surreal, and it's not something that just lasts for a moment or an instant. I've had it, you know, for an hour.
Yeah, and you know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's so weird, you know, and it happens exactly like it happened in my dreams. I don't know if it's a psychic phenomenon or touched by an angel or what it really is supposed to mean, but it's happened to me about 15 or 20 times in my life, and very strange.
I sometimes think it's almost like a time warp where things are out of kilter for a little bit, and you are picking up on, you know, you were already in the future, and now you're picking it back up in the past. There's something there, and I don't think mainstream science does a very good job explaining what it is, because I don't think they know.
Yeah, I don't know for sure. That's kind of what got me onto the idea tonight, was hearing the man talk about the time travel.
Sure.
Not necessarily having to have a device to do it, and I was thinking to myself, like, well, yeah, I've been to the future, and I've known it, so it's a very odd phenomenon.
I think pure time travel will probably be done much through the mind, very similar to what had happened to me. I don't know if you heard that story or not, but a couple of weeks ago I did a test, and I was able to do something strange, but it was a mental projection. It was not a physical one.
Sure, sure. And I feel the same way about it. I wasn't physically there, but mentally I was there in my dream, but in the reality scenario of it, I was there, and it folded out, and the story told exactly how it was in the dreams, you know?
I was going to say, are you dreaming things, and then they happen in real life?
Yes.
That's strange.
Yeah, very strange. Like I say, very, very clear dreams that last for, you know, it seems like a couple hours when they happen in real life, but as far as going to the store, shopping, picking up certain items, having certain feelings that I had in those dreams, like one time I was going to steal a plant from in front of the store, and I was like, well, I better not do that.
No, not smart.
In the dream, I got caught doing it and stuff like that.
So you are able, though, to make a change from what your dream shows you in real life.
Yes, I have.
That's pretty dramatic all by itself.
I have made conscious changes.
Decisions, sir. Let's just hope you don't dream things of real tragedies.
No, it's never been anything like that. It's been real trivial stuff, like I said, like going shopping at the store or...
But it's always revolving you, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Me and friends and family and stuff like that, and it's just really odd instances, you know, when you wake up in the morning and you're like, oh, I had a strange dream, you know, and you don't really make much of it because nothing really exciting happened or nothing dramatic or anything like that.
I wonder if you can train yourself to start, I don't know, dreaming of some major events.
I'd love to be some sort of prophet.
Oh, my gosh. You'd be on the show every week.
That could change my life.
Absolutely. All right, thanks for the call.
Hey, thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Dreams. And he sees, yeah, that's one of the first. Mostly people don't dream things and then see them in real-time events. And then he's smart enough, though, to change them in real life. Wildcard Line, welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir. You sound like you're out driving around somewhere.
Oh, I am. I'm in eastern Tennessee.
What's going on out there?
I'm in Knoxville listening to you on XM Radio.
Great. Well, welcome to the program, sir.
Well, thank you, George. Great show. I just wanted to relate a little story to you. There were three friends of mine, and I had left work one night to go camping, and we was driving on a two-lane highway, a hilly highway, and there was a car in front of us that was going a little bit slower than what the driver wanted to, so he swings out into the other lane and starts to pass, but he happens to be on a hill.
No.
as we reached the top of the hill, we met an oncoming car. And what the strange thing was, the next instant, my friend and I that were in the backseat was watching out the back window, and we saw taillights and the headlights of the car that we just passed.
I have heard similar stories now three times. You now make the third of this kind of a situation where it's almost like the two vehicles go right through each other and nothing happens.
That's my first question was to the driver was, why are we dead?
Yeah.
Something or someone was watching out for us that night. That's all I get to think.
What do you think happened?
I don't know whether we passed. I know we had to pass through him because I know he was there. I saw the taillights. I saw the headlights, but then I saw the taillights.
And you know he must have been saying the same thing. He's got to be saying, "My God, I should be dead by now."
Oh, I'm sure he was shaking as much as we was.
I'm telling you, no, you are now in the last 2 months. You're the third person to call me with similar stories like that. Primarily vehicles. I wonder if that has anything to do with speed, where they just seem to go right through each other and nothing happens. I mean, that's strange. First time caller line. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
My name is Royetta.
Royetta. Now that is a different name.
Yes, it is.
Where are you calling from?
Omaha, Nebraska.
The land of the steaks.
Yes. And I actually, what I wanted to tell you was that I had a dream, and this has been years ago, but I had this dream that I was going down the freeway and that the axle on my right-hand tire was going to break, and that as I passed this truck, and I had this dream for about, and that I was going to have a terrible accident. I had that dream for about a week. I took my car in to have it looked at, and they thought I was nuts because I was sure there was something wrong with my car.
Yeah.
It frightened me. And so, and anyway, and then about a week later, I was actually driving, and this is in San Jose. I was actually driving, and as I got to Meridian, I started to see the dream again. So I started slowing down because I was about to pass a truck, and I was going about 70. And as I slowed down and pulled off to the side and went up the off on the Meridian exit,
mm-hmm.
the axle broke. Actually, I was only going 5 or 10 miles an hour, so nothing happened to me.
You're lucky. Did you feel like something was going to happen at that moment?
Yes, I did.
That's probably what saved your life.
Yes, and I have had several of those, but that was one of the major.
Did you take the car back and say, "I told you guys so"?
Yes.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
What did they say?
And I told my husband, too, because, you know, they all thought I was a crackpot, you know, and so, And my husband, because at the time I'd had one of those silly things happen, I told him not to go to a corner. I was driving, and I pulled over to the side, and I said, "I can't go to the corner." And he said, "Why not?" I said, "We're going to have an accident." And he got so aggravated with me because he was going to work that he got out of the car, and he drove to the corner. And as we got to the corner, I closed my eyes and said, "Here they come." And they hit us and knocked us into the middle of the intersection.
You got the power, girl. That's some. Hey, I'm interested. The guys at the repair shop, though, what did they say when you went back?
No, they said they couldn't. They could not see why it had broken because they had examined it. They had put it up on the rack, and there was nothing wrong.
All that probably true, except
right.
You just had a different feeling. That's something else. Good for you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Great story. Wildcard line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hi. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Fort Worth, Texas.
Well, welcome. You're probably listening to us on KLIF, I would guess, huh?
No, actually, I'm listening to you on XM Radio.
Oh, okay.
Thank God for XM Radio.
XM's a pretty good thing, too.
I've got a story about shadow people.
Okay. What?
I drive a truck. And here, regularly, I wake up, and there are two, look, kind of like a cat-like figures that are sitting on my chest.
Cat-like?
Yeah, cat-like. I mean, you know, you can definitely see the cat face, and they've got the hands that look like skeleton bones. You know, that's what the hands look like, but they're sitting on my chest and they're trying to hold my eyes closed.
Are they also trying to hold you down where you can't move?
Yeah, at times I feel like they're trying to hold me down, you know, but I know that they're trying to hold my eyes closed because it takes me an awful long time to open my eyes, you know, because like there's weight sitting on my eyelids.
Do you ever have scratches from them?
No, I've never had scratches or anything like that, you know.
I thought for a moment we would solve the other dilemma of a call we had a few calls back where her husband would wake up in his truck cab held down by a shadow something, but he'd have scratches all over his legs.
Yeah, it's similar to that, you know, but I've never woken up with scratches or anything.
How do you get rid of them, or how do they go away?
Once I finally get my eyes open, they seem to just disappear into thin air.
And you've never been hurt by them?
No. And this has happened regularly over about the past probably year and a half now.
What do you think is causing this?
I honestly don't have any idea. You know, it feels like I'm in a deep sleep when these shadow figures, you know.
It sounds like you expect it now. I mean, is this something you would wish would not happen, or do you kind of look forward to it?
No, I wish that it would not happen. You know, it scares the tar out of me. You know, once I finally wake up and figure out what's going on. You know, my heart is racing extremely fast, and I'm just wake up really really scared.
Wonder why they would be cat-like.
No idea, George.
All right, that's strange. All right, stay in touch with us. Give us updates on that. West of the Rockies, you are on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Barbara from Laguna Beach.
Hi, Barbara from Laguna Beach.
How are you doing tonight, George?
I'm doing wonderful, thanks.
You sound great. Well, I thought I'd go around and relate something to you. I remember you talking before about astral projection.
Mm-hmm.
That you don't been able to do it once. Well, I used to do it when I was a little kid.
At will?
Well, I don't know if it was really at will. I was really sick when I was little. I had really bad heart problems. And at night, I mean, I would go to bed, and all of a sudden I would wake up because it felt like my body was just stretching, and all of a sudden I'd open my eyes and I'd be looking down at my body.
And you couldn't figure out for the life of you why that was happening, I bet, then.
No. I couldn't, it was just, I used to tell my mom about it, and then I used to tell my mom because I used to have people sit on my bed when I was little.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd be dressed in weird costumes and stuff, and I'd see somebody on TV, the guy last night was dressed just like that, like a king from, like, Middle Ages. And my mom would look at me, and she goes, oh, honey, you're just not getting enough oxygen to your brain.
What a great laugh.
Support, right?
Oh, man.
I got you to laugh.
You sure did. Nothing. Now, do you still astral project?
Only when I'm really, really stressed. Every once in a while, all of a sudden, I'll find myself doing that. Because when I was little, I used to do it. I remember a couple of times doing it in a department store where, you know, I couldn't find my mom and stuff, and all of a sudden I'd get up above my body and I'd say, oh, she's over there.
You're kidding me. You'd go, like, on the top of the shopping center and look down on her?
Yeah. It was like, I mean, a lot of strange things happened when I was little.
Oh, neat. What's the farthest you ever traveled in an astral body? I mean, did you ever go to the moon or anything like that?
No, never went to the moon. I remember going into my parents' room. I remember going over to a friend's house. Because I wanted to see Jimmy, and he was sleeping, and I couldn't wake him up.
You couldn't wake him up. Wake up Jimmy, and it wouldn't happen. Huh? He kept sleeping. Well, you cracked me up. How's your heart problem now? You all right?
I'm fine now.
All right, that's good. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome, sweetie.
Appreciate it. Laughter. Laughter is infectious, isn't it? Let's go east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
This is Bill in Raytown.
Hi, Bill. What's going on?
Yes, sir. Saturday night, we were cutting wood up in north central Missouri.
Uh-huh.
About five miles south of the Iowa border. And my buddy's like, man, you ought to see this light over here. It was a star. Looked like a meteor, but stopped and doing incredible maneuvers.
Yes.
And then it swooshed down, and it looked like it was a couple miles, maybe more than that from us, 3 or 4 miles. And then it swooshed back away, but we looked at it with binoculars, triangular ship.
See another one.
And I have friends and family, kinfolk in north central Kansas. They are down near Hutchinson, Kansas during the summer. They saw a triangular ship, but they said it was a real big one. They swore it was a couple hundred yards per side.
Yeah, that's pretty big. The college guys that just called saw one a few hours ago in Iowa. It's got to be, I don't know, maybe the same. This one they said was smaller than a plane, a passenger plane. Yours, obviously, much bigger.
I was a Navy man myself, and I have a buddy who told me he was in the Indian Ocean doing some kind of war games near the island Diego Garcia, and
sure.
In the daylight, they saw, like, pretty good distance, but they could tell what they're looking at, three triangular ships. And each side was like, hey, is this something part of the war game? What the heck's going on? And he said everything on the ship's logbooks was removed.
You're kidding me.
He said this was in the summer of 94 or 95.
Now, that's interesting, that they would take it right off the logbooks and throw it away, get rid of it.
You know, I had another Air Force guy tell me that there was a triangular ship that was part of the Aurora program. It was called the TR something, and it was a smaller triangular ship. And he said it operated the cooling apparatus of it. I don't understand the term atmosphere.
A friend of mine tells me that he knows that these are military. They're military craft, and that their purpose will be revealed and then probably within a year or two. But I'm going to try to get him to admit it for us on Coast to Coast. Thanks for the call.
Appreciate it. I want some technology for my hot rod. I'll talk to you later, George.
You got it. For Steve Carr, Dan Bilanti, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Barbara Simpson, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you tomorrow. Be safe, everyone.